Jesus came along and he touched me. And I will never be the same. Jesus came along and he touched me. And I will never be the same. He touched me by his mighty power. Thank you.
Praise God. The Lord bless each one this morning. And I want to give everyone a very warm welcome in their service this morning. It's good to see each and every one here this morning. And we just trust the Lord will bless you. I know a lot of people's been out, colds and flus and viruses. And it's really good to see everyone again this morning. We give you a very warm welcome. And there's trouble in the earth, war. And I mentioned on Thursday night at the Bible study, Matthew 24 has been fulfilled before us. Wars, rumors of wars. And we're seeing it. And it's terrible, for there's people out in them different countries, different weak groups and people, and we want to pray for them. But God will protect them. Also, Brother Barry Coffey had sent me a thing yesterday, and there's the brethren had went into Mozambique with Bibles and books, and they were arrested and they were jailed basically forever, sort of thing, because they thought they were smuggling in guns. But they weren't smuggling in guns, they were smuggling in the sword of the Word of God. And eventually they appealed it and they've let them go. But there's big persecution for lots of Christians. Mozambique, I don't know if brother you're ever in Mozambique, but it's not far from Malawi. I travel through Mozambique. It's very, very poor. Brother Dixon started many churches in Mozambique in the early days. God used Dixon Kandoje in an outstanding way. He saw the dead raised and everything.
Amen.
Several times. And you know, there's one case where the young man died and his father prayed and he felt a strong urge to go and get Dixon. And he travelled a long time to get to Dixon's house. And when he got Dixon and got back to the where they were going to bury this young man, the funeral procession was basically underway. They were ready to put him in the ground. And Brother Dixon knelt down and prayed at the side of the coffin. And when Dixon said amen, the dead man said amen.
Amen.
Amen. And he said he never looked back himself. He never looked back. He came straight home. He said he was afraid. He never looked back his own self when the dead man said amen. And I travel with him, and I can tell you it's not just talk. People talk about not saying nothing. I can assure you, when I travel with Dixon, there was many, many miracles, which I watched him and seen them. Even in Dublin, Brother Mark, with his knees. You remember that, brother? And there's other brothers.
Amen.
And the Lord did some wonderful things. But you know, in Dublin, there was a fellow there, and he'd been to Belgium, to the top doctors. He had a hole in his foot that wouldn't heal. And he tried everything. He couldn't wear any shoes. And he came to the service on a Friday evening and was prayed for. And on the Saturday service, we saw a commotion in the car park. When we looked out, he was dancing around.
Amen.
He was dancing around the car park with his shoes on. God completely healed him. And it instantly the wound dried and he was healed overnight. That's the power of God.
Amen.
Now, we know things happened with Brother Dixon. I don't know all the details. But the devil's never going to disturb a boy that's on the back armchair. For he's doing nothing to affect him. And a boy that talks, I was reading this morning, James 3:16, where there's envy and strife, the Bible says there's every evil work. And we need to beware, there's no envy and strife. That produces evil work. We want to be in unity, where the Lord commands the blessing. Praise the holy name of the Lord. Amen. Let's stand our feet this morning, and God bless you all. And also, there's people need prayer as well. And I'm not going to name any names from the pulpit. But when I'm praying and you've someone that's near and dear to you, we're going to be praying God will touch them.
Amen.
And bless them. And this morning, praise God. We're going to read at Numbers 9, verse 15. And I didn't think I'd even preach this morning, but I cannot get away from it. The cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night, what led them, it says in my Bible, guidance of the cloud. And I've tried all week to find the song and I couldn't find it. I found one place, but they weren't singing it too well. I was going to send you, brother. but they didn't do a good job of it. Moved by the cloud. How many's ever heard that song? Just me and Sister Kiara. Well, I've heard it and I've sung it. But there is a group I heard singing it years ago, and when they sang it, they danced all over the church. They got excited. They were known as the Thunder Groups. Now, I didn't agree with the doctrine of the Thunder Groups, but there's one thing about them, I'm going to tell you, there was life with them.
Amen.
There's a wee bit of life with them.
Right.
They weren't afraid to get jumping and shouting and praising.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
And a wee bit of that, somebody said, what about the wildfire? I says, well, it's back or no fire. Amen. Praise God. But hallelujah. The Lord bless you. Verse 15 of Numbers 9, verse 15. And on the day that the tabernacle was reared up, the cloud covered the tabernacle, namely the tent of the testimony. And this is the tabernacle in the wilderness, what I've been preaching about over the last few services. And at evening there was upon the tabernacle, as it were, the appearance of fire. Hallelujah. Unto the morning. All night long. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful? So it was always the cloud covered it by day and the appearance of fire by night. And when the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, then after that the children of Israel journeyed in the place where the cloud abode. There the children of Israel pitched their tents. At the commandment of the Lord, the children of Israel journeyed, and at the commandment of the Lord they pitched. As long as the cloud abode upon the tabernacle, they rested in their tents. And when the cloud tarried long upon the tabernacle many days, then the children of Israel kept the charge of the Lord and journeyed not. And so it was, when the cloud was a few days upon the tabernacle according to the commandment of the Lord, they abode in their tents according to the commandment of the Lord. Lord, they journeyed. And so it was, when the cloud abode from evening unto the morning, and that cloud was taken up in the morning, then they journeyed, whether it was by day or by night that the cloud was taken up, they journeyed, or whether it was 2 days or a month or a year. People talk about God doing nothing. If you're doing it on your own, nothing's going to ever happen. But if the Lord moves you, something will happen.
Amen.
There's a big emphasis here on this cloud. And there's a big emphasis that they never moved if it didn't move.
Amen.
And there's too much moving without the cloud. And all we need the cloud before we start to move. Hallelujah. Verse 22, or whether it were 2 days or a month or a year that the cloud tarried upon the tabernacle, remaining thereupon, the children of Israel abode in their tents and journeyed not. But when it was taken up, they journeyed. So if the cloud didn't go, they didn't go. Let's bow our heads this morning. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have open access into your very throne room and into your very presence by the new and living way through the precious shed blood of the Lamb. Lord, we've read from your word. Lord, I pray you'll help us this morning to say something, to bless, strengthen, and encourage your people. I'm asking you that you'll come into this meeting in a special way, that the Holy Spirit will come over this congregation. And I do take the Holy Ghost to help me. And I thank you that you do. Lord, I'm praying for needs this morning and hearts with dear ones. Lord, that you'll strengthen, that you'll comfort, that you'll heal, that you'll save, that you'll bring deliverance, that you'll provide the need. Pressed down and running over the top in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Bless the children. Bless the older. Bless the younger. But have your way in our lives in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. Praise God. I want to try and follow a little bit of how I broke this down. And it's good sometimes, no notes, and it's good to get excited and everything, but then sometimes you waste the whole service getting excited and you haven't really said much at the end of it. There has to be a balance. Like the fella said about this, the train, he could blow all the steam through the whistle. She's never moved. There has to be the balance. And I want to try and bring what I feel the Lord wants me to bring, and I hope it just helps everybody today. Numbers tells us how God's people traveled from Mount Sinai to the border of the promised land. And remember that God's people had been in bondage for many, many years under Egyptian whip and under Egyptian, the Egypt, under the taskmaster's whip. But God in his predestination had a man picked out. And that man, when he came to a certain age, the Bible says he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, and suffering rather to have affliction with his own people, he made a breakout. He broke out and he separated. And we know that he was on the backside of the desert 40 years. Oh, I like what Joseph Smith, an old Edom pastor, said many years ago. He said, Moses was 40 years learning to be an Egyptian. He was the next 40 years on the backside of the desert learning to be a nobody. And he said then he was the next 40 years learning that God was everybody. Amen. Hallelujah. But there come a time in the life of Moses when he had a phenomenal supernatural encounter. When God is going to do something in any generation, in any age, it always begins with a supernatural phenomenon and a supernatural encounter by the presence of Almighty God. Moses met God in the form of the burning bush, and God equipped him, and God sent him. He might have seemed like an ordinary man to many people, but he was no ordinary man after this, because God gave him special gifts what nobody else had. And the Bible says he was even God to the people, and Aaron was his prophet. That's the word of God, and you cannot break that. That's God's word. A prophet is God's mouthpiece. And we've been watching how God gave Moses instructions, detailed instructions, to build this tabernacle. But as soon as the tabernacle is reared up, God comes. God comes to stamp upon it with his own divine approval, with his mighty presence. And the presence of God is the approval of God. For where the presence of the Lord is, there's liberty. How we need liberty today in our meetings, in our lives, with the power of the Holy Ghost. We need rid of fear, rid of self-ambition, rid of world ambition, and we need to get a fear of God and get an ambition from heaven. Hallelujah. And God came on this scene, praise God. We know when they refused to take possession of the land, God made them wander for 40 years in the wilderness. Wander. Now a lot of people, when they take the 40 years, they preach all the most negative stuff they can preach from it. But I want to say from the very start of this service, there's one thing I noticed when I looked at this straight away. They might have wandered for 40 years, but God never let their shoes waste or their clothes waste for 40 years. And the cloud by day stayed for 40 years, and the pillar fire by night stayed 40 years. Now for people that were so backslidden, so out of the will of God, and so useless, as some people like to put it, God was definitely with them. Sure, they made mistakes. Sure, they'd done lots of things they shouldn't have done, but the presence of the Lord was with them. And there's something in this for us today. Now, I know the journey should have took 40 days. We know that. And it took 40 years. How many remembers when John Noble preached, how long will you go around the mountain? Let's go up. Let's go north. That was a cycle. Only a few remembered. Well, I remember it. But then I can remember lots of sermons. That's just how I am. If you hear a good sermon, you should be fit to remember. If you don't remember, don't worry about it. Amen. That's true. Now this, in this wilderness journey, a pillar of cloud and the fire is a central figure. It's a central figure guiding the Israelites everywhere. If the cloud or the fire never went, they never went. If it never moved, they never moved. It didn't matter if it was a day, a week, a month, or a year, they never moved. That reminds me like the book of Acts when Jesus said to them, he called them disciples were called. You know he called them. He said, as the Father sent me, so send I you. But then God said to them, tarry ye in Jerusalem until ye be endued with power. In other words, don't think of going nowhere until you get the Holy Ghost. We need more preachers, not a Bible school, but a Holy Ghost school. We need men and women filled with the Holy Ghost. That's what the Word needs today. It needs men that's going to go out sent by the Holy Spirit of God with that fire on them. And that will certainly disturb the old devil, praise God. We know the pillar of cloud and fire manifested before Israel crossed the Red Sea. Think of that. Look at all the impossibilities they faced. Their journey had only really started. Now I know you watch the old films and an old boy's coming and you know, and he's near dead and some woman's near dead and somebody else is near dead and the Ten Commandments film and they're carrying them and they're, you know, they're, well, none of that's the Bible. Because my Bible says that there was not a feeble one amongst them.
Amen.
That's the Bible. They didn't go out half crippled.
Amen.
And I'll tell you better than that. Every burden that was put upon the women of Israel, they buried their children easier than the Egyptians buried. That's the Bible. They done everything to sicken them, and they couldn't sicken them, because when God's with you, who can be against you?
Amen.
I tell you, this was an impossibility at the very start of this journey. They came to an impossibility. But God made the impossibility possible. How are they going to cross the Red Sea? Somebody said to my dad once, he says, Billy, now come on, Billy, you don't believe that stuff. It really was the Red Sea. And he gave my father a whole philosophy.
A theological philosophy. Ever get one of them?
Well, that's what he gave him about the Red Sea, and he could prove scientifically there was a Red Sea, and that you could just go across it, you know, sort of ankle deep. And my dad said, well, that's even a greater miracle. And he said, well,
Billy, how do you make that out? He says, well, Pharaoh's horses and chariots drowned in it. And imagine a horse drowning in water that's ankle deep.
That was some miracle, wasn't it? But I want you to know the Bible says that you opened up like a wall on every side. And I believe she was a high wall. God split her. And not only did God split that water that they could go through, but the ground underneath them was bone dry. That's how God done it. And they crossed over the Red Sea. And when they got over, God closed it on the enemy. And I believe Miriam and all those women danced on the other shore. Praise God. Because the taskmaster that whipped them and beat them, they were going to see them no more.
And you know, I used to have a video somewhere. There was a wonderful man and he researched Christian stuff.
John Wyatt.
Ron Wyatt. Who's ever heard of him? Ron Wyatt. And he found the chariot wheels and he found where they went over for the path went down in and came right up out again. And he found it, praise God, and evidence, praise God.
I'll tell you, our God's supernatural. Never forget that. He's a supernatural God. When somebody says, what are you going to do? You say, I'm going to do nothing, but I know somebody that can do something.
Amen?
Amen.
I know somebody that can do something, and his name's Jesus.
Amen.
He's Hebrews 13 and 8, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Glory to God.
Exodus 13, 21 to 22. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead the way.
and by night the pillar of fire to give light, to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. He was always with them. What did he get this morning? He never left them. Praise God. Ain't that like the footprints in the sands of times? The little thing about the footprints, and the fellow said, Lord, when I went through the hardest time, you left me. There was only two sets of footprints. And the Lord said, no, that's when I carried you. And the Bible says he beareth us up upon his shoulders and he carries us. Glory to God. The Lord's with you. He's with you when you don't feel him. He's with you when it doesn't look like he's with you. He's near you. And the Bible says he'll never leave you and he'll never forsake you. The Bible says I'm with you always, even till the end. Hallelujah. And he's here this morning in this very room. It was a visible reminder of the Hebrews to see that God was with them in the wilderness. Praise God. The pillar of cloud and fire has always been with them all through the Exodus. And it laid and journeyed with them in the wilderness. Exodus 40, verse 36 to 38. And when the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, the children of Israel went onward in all their journey. But if the cloud were not taken up, when they journeyed not till the day it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day, and the fire was upon it by night. Oh, that God would send fire. Hallelujah. In the sight of all this, the house of Israel, throughout all their journeys, God was with them. From the mountain they left Egypt to the edge of the Red Sea, through the crossing of the wilderness journey, God was with them in plain sight. Not only with them, he could be seen. God could be seen with them. Do you know why God could be seen? The enemy of these people of God could look and they could see something supernatural with them. That put the fear in them. I'm telling you right now, it put the fear of God in them. Didn't they say of the disciples are unlearned, naked men, but they took knowledge that they had been with Jesus. They knew the Lord was with them. There was something different about them. God was with them. Now there's a question here for us today. I've wrote down several questions. There's no way I'll finish this morning. Probably not tonight either. It's a big subject. All the Bible's big. Look, you can go anywhere and just keep going. And when you get the keys to anything, it just keeps unfolding like that. Praise God. Why is a pillar of cloud and fire important? Why is it important? Why do we need to look at it? Because when we look in here, you should see Christ. And I'm going to bring you to it this morning by the Lord's help. Praise God. What are the significant implications of the pillar of cloud and fire in Numbers? Then, what's in it for you as a believer today? Especially that we no longer, maybe nobody's ever saw it. Maybe you have saw it. God could come in here this morning in the form of a light. And two people could see it, and nobody else see it. That's true now. God can do that. You could have 50 people, and one of them could have a light over them, and none of the rest can have that light over them. That's God's choosing. Praise God. But it's for a reason. It's for a purpose. And I believe God can come visible in a service in that light, if he wants to, in the form of a pillar of fire still today. I believe it, because he did it with Paul the Apostle. God can still do it. I believe it. Now I know some modernists might not believe that. You see, because they have a Bible that's only for the disciples. But I'm glad I believe I am a disciple. A follower of Jesus. And I'm glad that I believe we're still in the apostolic dispensation. Because Acts 2:39, for the promise is unto you and your children, to them that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So the Holy Ghost can be ours. Praise God. Now let me look at this firstly. Want to see the pillar cloud fire as God's presence amidst his people. God's presence was amidst his people. I don't need to tell you in here this morning, but you can have a dry service that'll do nothing for you. You can have somebody that's 10 minutes under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost to do you more good. A long drawn out of fire will just put you to sleep. But if you get somebody with the Holy Ghost, whether it's long or short, the anointing of God does stuff
glory here. There's something about it.
Praise God. Numbers 9, verse 15. On that day the tabernacle was reared up. The cloud covered the tabernacle, namely the tent of the testimony. And at evening there was upon the tabernacle, as it were, the appearance of fire until the morning. Oh, we need the fire of God. That's what we need. The fire of God. The word cloud is a manifestation of God's holy presence. That's what it is. It's a manifestation of God's holy presence. You can have the example on Mount Sinai, where he came down. The phenomenon is called even a theophany. God can change his form. And God can come in any form, in a theophanic form. We know that God came to Abraham in a theophanic form, and he was called Melchizedek. Now some people think Melchizedek's just a man, but bear with me this morning. He had no father, no mother, no ascent, no descent, no beginning, no ending. I believe he was God in that form of that priest. And I believe this pillar of fire is the same God. And I believe that God can change his form whenever he wants, but he's still God. And Jesus Christ wasn't just some man, or some good man, or some good prophet. He was God himself, manifested in flesh to destroy the works of the devil. He was God and man, the God-man. And God came in Christ in fullness. Now there's other men, prophets, that God's been in, not in fullness. God was in Christ in fullness. In absolute fullness, so that we could be saved. Jesus says, it's not me that doeth the miracles, but my Father that's in me doeth the miracles. Know what he said? He said, if I do not the works, believe me not. But he did do them. And we do believe him. Praise God. You know, that's appearance. God appearance. That's what it is. God can appear. The principle here is where God's people are. God's presence is. When we gather together, God is here. We need him. We need to maintain fellowship in Christ. Excuse me, we need an atmosphere for God can move. James 3:16 says, for there's envy and strife, there's every evil work. The devil wants to bring envy into every church, in every group. Envy and strife, so that he can split and separate people out away from the presence of God. That's what it's all about. It's not about your brother or your sister. It's to get you away from God. That's his ultimate purpose and plan. But God wants to draw you into fellowship with him. Wants to be near you. He wants you to be one with him as he is one with the Father. Hallelujah. As I am one with my Father, we are to be one with him. Is that what he says? He wants to be near us. He wants to bless you. He wants to touch you. He wants to renew you. He wants to strengthen you. Glory to God. That's what God wants to do for you. Matthew 18:20, for two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst. So this pillar of fire has trembled us this morning, that the presence of the Lord can be with us, can be near us. Right in the meeting, right wherever we are. How many have ever had the Holy Spirit come on you when you're driving down the road? Amen. Certainly. And you start to sing and worship and pray in tongues. Amen. We don't hear much of tongues today, but tongues is real, let me assure you. There's a real gift to tongues. And the man or woman that's praying in a real gift of tongues, don't you ever speak against it, for you're blaspheming the Holy Ghost. I tell you, the real tongues is real. The Bible says, him that prayeth in an unknown tongue, edifieth or reneweth himself. Amen? Oh, it's wonderful when the Spirit of God comes like that. Now let's take a significance here. The pillar of cloud fire was a great picture of Christ. This is a picture of Christ in a prefigure. Now what your New Testament calls it, that we saw him in a prefigure. We saw him, but it was really him here back then. Numbers 9, verse 16 to 17. So it was, the cloud covered it by day and the appearance of fire by night. And when the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, then after the children of Israel journeyed, and in the place where the cloud abode, there the children of Israel pitched their tents. The interesting truth about the Old Testament figures and sacred objects is that they somehow portray Jesus Christ. Everything portrays Jesus Christ. Even this pillar of fire portrays Jesus Christ. The Bible uses typologies, metaphors, and other forms and figurative speeches to portray the Messiah, the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. It uses them, and we're to look at them, and we're to see the Lord. We know many times that this pillar of cloud of fire is mentioned as the angel of God. The angel of God. It mentions it as the angel of God. And it says the angel of the covenant went before them. That's how it mentions it as the angel. Capital A. The angel of the Lord. Praise God. Exodus 14:19. And the angel of God which went before the camp of Israel removed and went behind them. And the pillar of cloud went before their face and stood behind them. So God was their protection. Now we've heard people say the armor's in front of you, but there's nothing behind you. What about this? God can ball around you. Amen. Amen? Amen? God has got your back. You ever heard somebody say, "I've got your back, brother"? Got your back. Somebody tells you that, watch them. Maybe a knife in their hand. My grandmother used to say, you know, sweet, sweet lips. Oh, couldn't repeat it all. Couldn't tell you the rest of her phrase. I'm on the pulpit. But she had a real good saying. Put the knife in the back. But the Lord's behind you. The Lord's behind you to protect you from the enemy. He's going to protect your back parts. What's your back parts? Follow me this morning. Your kidneys is in your back. Lots of clean dirt hanging in your body. It makes you function. And God is your protection and your cleanser. Amen. God's got your back this morning. Aren't you glad God's got your back? Amen. For Paul the Apostle, we know, met the pillar of fire. He met the pillar of fire, changed him, transformed him. There's a transforming power with this pillar of fire. Exodus 9, verse 3 to 5. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus." But I thought it was a pillar of fire, it is. "I am Jesus whom thou persecuted. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." I am Jesus. So Paul met the pillar of fire. And he fell on his horse, a bright light, so bright it blinded him. How many knows that? He had to get prayer. You know, he got prayer and his eyes opened and he could prayer and got the Holy Ghost after that. How many knows that? I preached about it. But he fell down. And he says, "I am Jesus. Hard for you to kick against the pricks." Paul was persecuting God's people. So he was persecuting God. Now there's a lesson in that for every one of us. Your brother's not your enemy, the devil's your enemy. Amen. William Branham said, if you can't give somebody a bunch of flowers while they're living, don't put one on the grave. How many knows there's someone in that? We should be fit to say good things about each other. Not bad things. The devil does enough of bad talking. We don't need to be wrecking up our brother or sister, but you need to say someone good about them. Amen. Fine looking fella. Amen. Now I want to quote you this morning. To me it was the same God that led the children of Israel by the pillar of fire. We all know that it was a Logos. That angel of the covenant, which was Christ, that led the children of Israel. Christ declared it to be so. He said, "I am." That was in the burning bush, and he was a rock that was in the wilderness. That pillar of fire was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. And when he was here, he said, "I come from God, now go back to God." And after his death, burial, resurrection, when he appeared to Paul on the road to Damascus, he again was the same Logos in the pillar of fire. Manifest himself. Remember, Paul said, "Who is it, Lord?" The same God. God unfolds himself. Tell us, God is a continual revelation. See, when you've figured out God, you've missed him. I'm going to say that again. People learned the doctrine of the Trinity and they said, "We figured God out." They missed it. They missed it. Because God's superior than just a person. He's Almighty God. And you can't chop God up into three and have three gods. There's one God. Hear the angel of the Lord. Now, there's three offices of that one God, but many manifestations. There's many manifestations of God. And when you get over to Revelation, it talks about the seven spirits of God. But the Logos, the one act from God, how many knows? In the beginning was the Word. That means Logos. You could read that in the beginning was the Logos. And the Logos was God. The same was in the beginning with God. That's the same pillar of fire out throughout the whole Bible. It is the same Jesus Christ unfolding himself down through the ages continually to his people. And he's here this morning in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. How many believes that? The Holy Spirit came to continue the work that Jesus began. Paul was well known for interpreting the Old Testament and finding Jesus Christ and many significant facts and figures we know in Scripture. We call these revelations. That's what they're called. It really means God is revealing himself, continually unfolding himself. Look at 1 Corinthians 10, verse 1 to 4. And I have to watch my time. Look, it's 5 past 12 already. And we have a communion service. I'm going to have to stop and do communion in a moment. And I'm not going to keep going on and on and on. I know many times you look at the watch. Remember I did it a bit on Thursday night. I went on too long. I'm going to stop and don't stop. But I'm going to stop in a moment. And let me read you this. 1 Corinthians 10, 1 to 4. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud. And all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and the sea. And did all eat the same spiritual meat. And did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. So Christ referred as a rock. The same Christ referred as a rock. Different forms, but every time the same, praise God. Now I'm going to close, I'm going to do what I've said, because the time will go and it'll be too late. Let me turn to 1 Corinthians. I think it's chapter 11, verse 23. We want to have communion. Tonight, the Lord, when you pray first, we'll continue on tonight. You know, I want to really emphasize, and I'll do it more maybe this evening. They never moved. The black cloud never moved. They waited. Maybe we'll see tonight about waiting on the Lord. Verse 23 of 1 Corinthians. And I'm going to ask that the deacons come round the table in a moment. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it, and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself. So every one of us need to examine ourselves. And let us do that. And if you feel in your heart this morning something's not right, just pray if you are. Between you and God. I'm not your priest. He is your priest. I know a pastor can mean priest, but a lot of people use that and they take it right out of his context. How many knows we're all priests unto God? Revelation says so, but Jesus Christ ultimately our priest. It's him we confess to. And he's faithful and just to forgive us all sins. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. So go ahead, just put it right with God. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly amongst you, and many sleep. It means dead. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. So the man that's not saved, he's not judged because he doesn't believe it. But we that are saved know that sometimes we had to get things sorted. We judge ourselves according to the word, and we get it sorted. Many understands that this morning. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together, to eat, tarry one for another, and if any man hunger, let him eat at home. And you come not together to condemnation, and the rest will I set in order when I come. Let us bow our heads, praise God. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come and remember the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and his body, which was broken. We heard the other week, if your body eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part with me. And Lord, as we take these emblems in remembrance of you, Lord, we have no power to change this bread or wine. It's a remembrance that you've left us of you, for what you've already done for us. Because we know you were offered up once and for all to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for you the second time will you come without sin unto salvation. Father, even while we're bowed this morning, I think of those people in Ukraine and these countries where they're being bombed this morning. Lord, I'm asking you for your protection. You have so many wonderful people there that belong to different weak groups. And we pray for every single one of them, that the blood of Jesus Christ will be around them. And even as we've heard here, that this cloud went behind them in protection. May they know the presence of the Lord. May they know a supernatural protection. In the name of Jesus Christ, many's refused to come away because of the gospel. And Lord, some loved their lives unto death, it says, for a better resurrection. But Father, I pray you'll bless them and protect them in the name of Jesus Christ. Bless this bread, this wine, as we remember you and partake right now. Wash us and cleanse us with the precious blood of Jesus Christ and the washing of your word. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen. Amen. God bless us. Our brothers, come. Somebody wants to sing a wee chorus, I think, please.